He saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen, who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For if he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. We're going to have a look at that passage a little later on. We read together from Luke chapter 5. Very well-known passage. This is sort of thing that everybody's done from Sunday school days. The calling of the first disciples on the lakeside of Galilee. Quite a simple, straightforward passage until you start to look at it. There are one or two little complications as you go along, and so that's why I just want to spend some time just putting it in context. And then we're going to deal with what I think are two very difficult, controversial, and theological questions that remain at the end of this question. And before you can really understand and get to grips with those two questions, you need to just put this whole passage in its context. So it's the story of the calling of four fishermen. Andrew and his brother Simon, who when Jesus meets him, he calls him Peter. And then there's James and his brother John. And it's John that writes the gospel account of his time with Jesus. And you get all these, you get four accounts of this in Scripture. You've got John's account, John chapter 1. Mark and Matthew give very similar short accounts of what happens. And then you've got this account that we read in Luke. And John's account is the one that's different, that stands out. If you know that the story in John's account, that he says that when he walked by John the Baptist, and John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God," two of his disciples go over and ask Jesus about what John the Baptist has just said. And one of those disciples that went from John the Baptist was Andrew. And the first thing that Andrew did was went and fetched his brother Simon and said, "Come, we have found the Messiah." And the other two, Matthew and Mark, have quite similar accounts. They talk about Jesus walking along the side of the Lake of Galilee, suddenly finds these four fishermen in their boats, says to them, "Come and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately they leave everything and go off and follow Jesus. And then we have Luke's account, which is again, it is slightly different. And this is the one we're going to focus on. Now, you've got to be quite careful the way you deal with these things. But if you look at the clues in the text, you'll see that there is a time period existing over this. John's account is probably about a year before the rest. So when Simon Peter particularly met Jesus, it's a year at least later when we come to this account in Luke. Matthew and Mark come somewhere in between. They're thought to be different accounts. So Jesus was obviously used to coming along to the lake and meeting with these two people. Now that important, because no doubt you will have heard preachers pick up one of these texts from these passages. This one's from Matthew, from the NLT version. Come and be my disciples, and I will show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and went with him. And, you know, that's a wonderful passage for a preacher to take, because it can tell you all about how Jesus is going to come along, tell you to do something, and immediately, you've got to forget everything else and go off and follow Jesus. And, you know, that might be some people's experience. It shouldn't be wrong, and some missionary people particularly have been willing to do that. They felt the call of Jesus on their lives. They've immediately been able to go off, leave everything, and follow him. We've had some contact recently with a family couple, again, that comes from Plimstock, who are working in Bethlehem at the moment with very disabled children. They work with the children of the Muslim families. They're extremely disabled. And these children have such an awful life because in the Muslim background and the Palestinian background in there, I mean, these kids that, you know, they find them chained up in an outhouse and probably never sat at a table before and eaten a meal with the family because they're ashamed of their disability and their thing. And Lawrence and Sharon... Lawrence was a social worker, Sharon was a primary school teacher, and they left all of that, and they went up and they set up a charity and worked with these very disadvantaged children in Bethlehem. They followed this call of Jesus immediately to leave everything and follow him. But for the rest of us, and didn't that make you feel pretty pathetic that, you know, you haven't done that, that we haven't been able... we've got David sitting here who spent 28 years as a missionary. So apart from him, we haven't been able to do this in our lives. But the other thing that's wrong with that approach is it wasn't actually true. They didn't actually immediately leave everything and follow Jesus. Before they finally made that decision... they'd all spent about a year with Jesus beforehand. If you've got your Bibles open, just look back to the end of chapter 4. And you'll find a verse there. You can start off really in verse 38. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, laid his hands on each one. He healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And now the lesson here is this. Jesus is going to ask you to do things. He is going to ask you as a Christian to do things, to follow him, to be part of his church, to be part of his work on earth. But he's going to give you time and prepare you for the task that he's going to give you to do. When we've get to this passage in chapter 11, when it says, right at the end of that, we read, they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything and followed him. Simon had already seen Jesus healing people. He'd healed his mother-in-law. He'd healed many people. And they'd spent a year with Jesus on going around with him and talking to him. It's not, Jesus doesn't often ask people just to step out totally blindly in faith. He gives you time. He helps you to prepare. And you know that when Jesus asks you to do something, don't you just remember that Jesus, as the Son of God, that Jesus gave his life as a sacrifice to bear the punishment that our sin deserved, when Jesus asks us to do something, don't you just remember what he said, that greater love has no man to lay down his life for another? That Jesus was willing to do all of that for us. And that's why when he asks us to do something, we want to serve him out of love for all that he's done for us. So when Jesus asks us to do something, and I want to focus particularly on one thing, and probably the most difficult thing that Jesus asks us to do, and that's to share our faith with others. When Jesus gives you those opportunities, when Jesus asks you to talk to others about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to you to be a Christian, then we don't need to worry. Because he's going to be there to help us and prepare us for that time. So let's have a look at this passage in Luke, having set it in context. Now, at the start of this passage, Peter, we'll call him Peter rather than Simon, because that's what we know, most people know him by, he was doing okay. He and his brother Andrew had their own fishing boat. He was married, his own house. He'd gone into partnership with an older man called Zebedee, who had two sons, John and James. The business was going well, in fact, so well they were even able to hire people to help. And that gave him time to spend time with his friends, including Jesus the carpenter from Nazareth. And I guess, as a fisherman, Jesus would have been helpful with a few boat repairs on the cheap. And now when we come to this passage in Matthew, Jesus was here beside the lake with his friends. They'd been out all night fishing. And I guess they must have been a bit fed up. It says they'd been all night out fishing all night and caught nothing. Now, I don't know, have we got any fish people keen on fishermen fishing here? Whenever we walk along the seafront and you see these people casting their rods out into the sea, I have never seen anybody catch anything. So maybe part of a fisherman is that you don't get fed up if you've not caught anything, right? That's part of the job. Anyway, Peter and his crew were packing up for the day. Been out all night, they were packing up, and Jesus was talking to the crowds that seemed to form wherever he went. It says in here, he was preaching the word of God to them. And the lake shore got a bit crowded. So Jesus gets in to Peter's boat. Peter asks him to row out a little way offshore so Peter could sit down, Jesus could sit down and continue preaching the crowd. After he'd finished, he asked Peter to row out further into deep water and let down his nets again. Now, Peter must have been pretty surprised by that, because here was Jesus, a carpenter, asking Peter, an experienced fisherman, to go out in the wrong place, deep water, at the wrong time of day, middle of the day, and let down his nets, and he was going to catch loads of fish. Just spent all night doing it, nothing. Go out, middle of the day, wrong place, wrong time, told by a carpenter what to do, and that was going to be good. But you start to see that Peter had learnt something about Jesus in the time he'd spent with him. He learnt that it was a good thing to obey what Jesus had said. So he agrees. Peter and his crew are amazed at the number of fish they catch. It's too much for one boat. They have to signal their partner's boat to join them. Soon, two boats are overflowing with good fish. Peter turns to Jesus, falls down at his knees and says, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." This miracle, this catch of fish, had really got to Peter. You know, he'd seen miracles before. He'd seen Jesus heal people. He'd seen Jesus heal many people. But this miracle was just for Peter. This miracle was within Peter's sphere of influence. Right? He knew that what he'd seen was supernatural. You don't catch loads of fish in the middle of the day in deep water like that. And so Peter was had been got up by Jesus. He was conscious of his own unworthiness and conscious of the greatness of the one he was with. And you know, that's where Christian life starts. That's where the Christian experience starts, conversion experience starts. And sometimes it doesn't matter how many times you've been to church. It doesn't matter how many times you've listened to different messages. One day, one of those is suddenly going to touch your heart. It's going to connect with where you are in your life. And you're going to realize your state before a holy God. Peter said, I am a sinful man. And that's the point you need to do something about it. That's the point you need to come to Jesus. Confess your sins and give your heart and life to him and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. And so it's at this point where Peter and the others are finally prepared to surrender all, give up the security of the business, and follow Jesus. Wherever that was going to lead, he'd committed everything to Jesus, left everything, and followed him. So one of these two difficult questions that I want us just to consider when we finish, as we finish. Now, they are tricky questions. I don't know how we're going to get on with these. The first one is this. What happened to the fish? Let me offer you some suggestions. Oh, it says in verse 11 there, so they pulled up their boats on the shore, left everything, and followed him. So what happened to the fish? I'll give you three options. First one is, they were left in the boat to rot. They left, pulled up boats on the shore, left everything and followed him. Could be possible. The crowd on the shore helped themselves. We know that it was a big crowd on the shore. They could have easily helped themselves if Peter had left them there on his own. Well, the third option is that Zebedee and the hired men took them and sold them for a lot of money. Come on, before I tell you what I think, who would you like? Which one would you like to vote for?
B.
B. What one? It's B. C.
B.
B. Nobody's going for A. No, well, I.
That was
yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. And if you think about Jesus, I mean, he clearly knew the value of food, didn't he? It was in that sort of time in society, you would not have left food, valuable food source like that. Remember when Jesus fed the 5,000, he was careful enough to pick up 12 baskets of leftovers afterwards so it didn't go to waste. So A, I think we can clearly rule out. B, I'm not so sure about. If Jesus had wanted to feed the crowds, he would have done it. Just like he did with the other crowds and multitudes that he did. He would have gone, he would have just fed the crowd as they wanted to. I think C is probably the most likely. Barry's going to disagree with me. Jesus was asking these men, these four fishermen, out of the businesses, to leave their secure occupation and live the life of an itinerant preacher, relying on the charity of others. But they had commitments. At least Peter was married. And this great catch of fish sold in the market would have given them time and funds to understand that all they needed would be found as they trusted Jesus more and more. This was a gift to Peter to establish him in the role that he was going to have as his disciple and the others. And I think it's an example of this. I looked at where this phrase comes from and nobody seems to know. God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And that's true for you and I. today. When Jesus asks us to go fishing with him, when Jesus asks you to talk to other people about your faith, he's going to provide you with the resources. He's going to provide you with just what you need. Whether it's a great catch of fishes, whether it's something, whatever you need, when you go fishing with Jesus, he's going to provide you with the resources. The second big question is this. What happened to the boat? Verse 11. It was pulled up on the shore and abandoned. Really? Valuable piece of equipment like that? Just pulled up on the shore, left and abandoned? Just think of the accounts of Jesus and the disciples as they go through the next 3 years of the ministry. And think how often a boat comes into the picture. They're in a boat when Jesus calms the storm in Luke chapter 11. They're in a boat when Peter steps out to walk on the water in Matthew 14. Right at the end of John's gospel, when after the resurrection, and Peter says, "I'm going fishing." They go out in a boat. So in that whole account in John chapter 21, when Jesus appears on the shore, Peter was in his boat. And so I think clearly Peter kept his boat and he used it to serve Jesus. He used it to serve the ministry that they had. Now I think there's a lesson in that as well. And I think the lesson is this. Not only is Jesus going to equip you for whatever he wants you, the work he wants you to do, but he also wants you to put at his disposal everything that you have already. All your time, your resources, your money, your ability. He wants you to put all of those things under his control. And I don't think Jesus does miraculously what he's already equipped us to do. Why should he do something miraculously if he's already given you the time, the skill, the talents in order to get things done? All we've got to do is put everything we have under his control, and he will use it for his honour and glory. So when we get to that text, "I will make you fishers of men," I think there are three lessons from this passage when you want to go fishing with Jesus. The first one is that Jesus is going to give you time to prepare. We just got to make sure we're always listening to him, so we know when he's calling us, when he's asking us to do things. You can't take too long, because the opposite side of this is the passage you'll find in Luke chapter 9, where he asks people to do things, and one says, "I've got to sell a field, I've got to go and bury my father." And Jesus knew they were just excuses. Yeah. He'll give you time, but don't wait too long. Jesus will give you time to prepare. The second lesson is that Jesus knows all about our practical needs. Just like he used this great catch of fishes to enable Peter to have time to change to his new life, Jesus has equipped us. You remember that well-known passage in Ephesians 3, that through the power of his Spirit, we can do more than we ask or imagine according to his power that is in work within us. We have the power of God. When we step out in faith, when we do these things that he wants, he will equip us to do all things. And that last one is that everything we have belongs to him. And we just got to make sure that we put everything under his control, that we put all our lives and all our resources under his control. And when we just make these three practical steps, make these three simple lessons, we'll be ready to go fishing with Jesus. And we'll be ready to take those opportunities when people ask us to share our faith. We'll be ready just to say to people what it means to be a Christian, why we think it's important in our lives. We're ready to go fishing with Jesus. We're going to sing a closing hymn. Number 362.